Beloved, would you turn with me, please, this evening to that second portion of God's Word that we read from the book of Psalms in chapter 103. As the Lord would enable us, we wish to consider the verses that run from verse 1 down to verse 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. It is believed that when David comes here, under the inspiration of God to pen this 103rd Psalm, it is in the latter years of David's life. Now that is significant. It's always significant when somebody comes into their later years and they put their thoughts down. Well, this is so with David. Much had gone on before. Here was a man who, from his own experience, knew sin, knew the horrors of sin, knew what it was to displease the Lord. But he was also somebody who knew the forgiveness of the Lord. He was somebody that had great upheaval in his own home. But he knew that the Lord was there, for underneath are the everlasting arms. You see, friends, what we have here is David speaking to his own soul. If you like, he's speaking to his soul and he's asking his soul to be stirred up to thank the Lord for all that the Lord has been pleased to do to him. You know, it's important for us to come and to do that very same thing to our own souls. It's important to us to come if we are still strangers to God and to his grace, and to interrogate our souls. Have you done that? Have you asked that all-important question? How is it with my soul? How is it with my soul? But you know, that is a question that we must ask as the Lord's people. How is it with my soul? You see, David comes here, and he realizes that something has been lacking in his life. The thing that has been lacking in his life was thanksgiving, was praise, was adoration of the Lord. I want us to think this evening of three things as we come to this Sabbath evening, this Thanksgiving. The first thing is this. You'll notice the common plight. This common plight that David brings before us that we all have. He is discouraged. I'm sure as we gather here this evening, there are times when we too are discouraged. Perhaps as we are gathered here this evening and we see a congregation of a sizable number, that has encouraged us. Of course it has. The ministers will be encouraged. The office bearers will be encouraged. We encourage each other in these things. But there are so many things that discourage us. We become cast down. Perhaps when we see the moral decay in society, we become cast down. Perhaps when we see the situation in the broader church, we become cast down. And that is natural. It would be unnatural if we were not cast down. See, he comes here and he brings before us this backslidden state of the church. Maybe in these words, that's what he's meaning. But if you look at Psalm 12 and verse 1, to the chief musician, and so it goes on, and it gives that direction. And then it says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." You see, surely this evening we would come in that common plight, and we would say that there is a backslidden nature and a coldness that often enters the church. That is also the case in Psalm 80. And you will remember there that Israel was pictured as a vine. That is the same idea of the picture of the church as a vine. And you will remember there that there were many, and they came past the vineyard. And what were they doing? They were picking the leaves of the vine as they were going along. You know, there are times when that happens to us. There are times when people come into our congregations, perhaps fleetingly, and they come for various reasons, and then they disappear. They pick the leaves of the vine. But there was something else brought before us in Psalm 80. We read about the boar, the hog. And what does he do? Well, he comes and he roots up the vine. He doesn't eat the grapes. He doesn't eat what he has rooted up, but rather he just does it for the sake of doing it. And very often that can happen in the church. And that common plight that we face, it casts us down. And we become heavy. And perhaps David had that in his mind here. And he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. I'm cast down, so I have to encourage myself to bless the Lord." You know, we look out today, don't we? And we can see much of the days of Isaiah, when he could see the church in his day as a bothy, as a hut in a field of cucumbers. And very often that's what we feel like today. The house of God and the cause of God is a hut amongst the field of cucumbers. Those were the fruits that spoke about Egypt and about the world. But you know, it comes a bit closer, not just the church and what happens in society, it happens within ourselves. That psalm that we sang this morning from Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We associate those words with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because those were the words that came from the cross. But they had their first expression in David's own experience. You see, the enemies came upon David. They came upon him, and he was a type that he would cry out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And maybe that is the feeling of somebody here this evening. Your soul is cast down. I don't know your situation. But maybe it is this evening your soul is cast down. Maybe things in life have been a heavy weight upon you, a trouble upon you. Maybe spiritual things have been pressing upon you. And you know, the various things of life that don't go our way, they will have an impact on the spiritual side of things as well. All of David's experiences had an impact upon him. So we have this common plight. But despite this common plight, David comes and he stirs up his soul to bless the Lord. And as we come on this evening of a communion Sabbath, that's what we are to do. We are to bless the Lord. We are to praise the Lord. We are to thank the Lord for his wonders. Now we can do this in a general way. You notice what he says here. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." All his benefits. They are manifold. They are numerous. There is variety. It is all his benefits. But you notice there that word benefits. We have an understanding today of what benefits mean. We see benefits as something that is considered to be good. Something that is considered to give us a benefit. But the word benefits there has the meaning of deeds. It has the meaning of acts. So when David comes and he says, "And forget not all his benefits," it is all God's deeds. All God's acts. Now that is very important. It is very important because it is easy to imagine that God is passive in the times when we struggle, in the times when the church struggles, in the time when we see a rejection of the gospel. We might indeed be inclined to believe that God is almost detached from the situation. But no, friends, that is the complete opposite. God is very much in control of all his benefits. You remember there in the prophecy of Habakkuk. Habakkuk comes and he sees the situation in the land and he sees sin pervading and he comes unto the Lord and he says, "Lord, dost thou not see? Hast thou not considered?" And when he had brought all this revelation to the Lord brought a revelation to Habakkuk. And he said, "I have seen it all. I know it all. I'm going to bring enemies against my people." You see, this evening it would be wrong for you, friend, and it would be wrong for me to conclude that because things are perhaps not going according to how we would imagine them to be going, that God has forgotten us. Now, God has not forgotten. God is in control. But you see, if God was in control, would things not be better? All of these acts and all of these benefits and all of these deeds are always for the good of God's people. That's the very same message here as we have in that great Romans chapter 8, a text I'm sure I quoted the other evening. "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, there might be days of leanness. There might be days when you will struggle as you come from the table of the Lord this morning into your pilgrimage until the next communion. There might be days when you will see the world standing against you, and you will have to stand against the world, and you would say, oh, I would desire that struggle would be different. There might be all of those things. But remember this, friends. You're a child of God. God is meaning it for your good. And so that he would come here and he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The good things that he has given me in life. The things of the struggle. We wonder here. When David comes and he says, forget not all his benefits. Was he thinking of the situation with Absalom? What did that work in his life? What did that work in his experience? Well, it brought him closer to the Lord. That was a benefit. All of these things that come to the Christian, they are ultimately blessed to the Lord's people. So we can remember in a general way. And then there is the profusion of the deeds of God. He says, all his benefits. Our health. Our sickness, our spiritual happiness, our spiritual despair, the high times, the low times, the times that bring us closer to the Lord. You read the Song of Solomon. There the bride had pushed away and had grieved the bridegroom in a sense. That was wrong. But that was a time that was surely blessed to her, because then she was conscious of his absence. And as they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. When she comes to the end of the song, what do we have? We have a betrothal. We have a wedding. What a blessed time that was for her. And then we are told that it's his benefits. This is not something that is impersonal, but this is something that is very personal. You notice how it goes down here at verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. It's his benefits, the father's benefits, that he has bestowed upon his people. So there is this remembrance in a general way. There's this profusion of deeds that are brought before us. But then there is surely a personal reason why David, and indeed we this evening here, have to thank the Lord for his benefits to us. First of all, David had in mind forgiveness. Forgiveness. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? That is why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, to be an atonement. You know what the word atonement means. You can break it down in its simplest form, even for the children this evening. And it's beneficial for us. It means at one meant. The atonement to bring us to God. That we would have forgiveness. What have I got to thank the Lord for this evening? That's maybe a question you're asking here. What have I got to thank the Lord for this evening? Well, friends, if you're a Christian, you have to thank the Lord for forgiveness. You have to thank the Lord for forgiveness. As we would come onto this Thanksgiving service of a communion Sabbath, surely it is for forgiveness. Maybe you are here this evening, and as yet you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Well, what is it that is the benefit of forgiveness? Well, if there is no forgiveness, we are sent forth from the sight of God. But if there is forgiveness, when we come and we lay our trust upon Christ, upon His righteousness, upon His work, upon His merits, to take us to glory and no works of ourselves. At that point in time, when we rest upon Him, it is the point in time of conversion. You see, as Christians, we perhaps think we know much. But even, you know, here, even Christians fall into what David says are iniquities. Iniquities. That's not just another way of saying sins. No, no. Iniquity means something very particular. It means an aggravated sin. It means sin in the face of knowledge. Aggravated. And perhaps in the light of forgiveness. And David knew that in his own life. He knew that in his own life. And friends, we know that when we come and confess them to the Lord with a heart that is truly penitent and repentant, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. So there is this forgiveness. That's a reason that we come with thankfulness. But there is healing as well. Notice there in verse 3, who forgive it all thine iniquities, who healed all thy diseases. Yes, there's the physical healing to some extent, that can be so. But we are to remember that in Christ we live and we move and we have our being. There is what's known as a parallelism here. And the disease that has been spoken about is the disease of backsliding, of unbelief, of fear and of anxiety. And maybe as we have come to this time of communion, we have enjoyed the presence in God's house. And of course, we enjoy that when we are in fellowship with the Lord. But the most difficult day of a communion is not a Thursday, or a Friday, or a Saturday, or the Sabbath. The most difficult days of the communion are the Tuesdays, the Wednesdays, the Thursdays, the Fridays, the Saturdays that follow. When we're back into the workplace. When we hear the profanities. Or when we have to deal with the awkward people. And the Lord upholds us. And He encourages us. Because we're looking unto Him. And even at the moments when we realize that perhaps we have backslidden, we have gone cold, we know that when we come to Him, He will draw us back and He will bring us into that embrace. Oh, David knew that. You remember the finger came to him. And the story was told about the rich man who had taken the poor man's lamb. And David was indignant. And the anger arose and he says, "Tell me, who is it?" And the prophet said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." Oh, David knew what it was to have forgiveness. And he could thank the Lord. He knew what it was to have healing and he could thank the Lord. He knew what it was to have redemption. Verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Remember we spoke this morning about the growing in grace. Well, friends, where we once stood as believers, it's not where we now stand. And where we once stood as individuals and were converted and now are believers, it's not where we once stood. See, that word redemption there, that word redeemeth, it means to set free at a price. That is what Christ does. Surely on a day of thanksgiving, wouldn't we come and return unto him the thanks for all his work? But then you have the crowning. You have this crowning here. And this crowning is speaking and it casts its way back to the verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now notice that third word there, Lord. It's capitalized in our authorized version for a very good reason. It's the translation of Jehovah. And it is the covenant-keeping God. And so David here is coming back and he's resting upon the covenant-keeping God, the one who has established his relationship and his covenant with his people. And he has brought them into the family of God and he says, "I will be your God and ye shall be my people." Now that was not so of the Moabites. It was not so of the Amorites. But it was of the children of Israel. And it is of the children of Israel of God even to this very day. And friends, that is so of you this evening. In Christ, that is so of you. And he says, "I will be your God and ye shall be my people." Well, what is our response to be to these blessings? The opening verses of that 103rd Psalm. Verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." We're to bless God. We're to praise God. We are, if you like, as one of the commentators says, we are to wish God well. Friends, this evening, I don't know what your situation might be. But I would say this to you. Kind of based on what I have said so far about the benefits, the acts, the deeds, I would say to you, if you are under a dark cloud at the moment, I would say this to you, that you are not to harbor hard thoughts towards God. And there are times that we can, as Christians, do exactly that. And it is not something that I'm sure many Christians would say that they have never had such thoughts. But I'm saying that we ought not to have such thoughts, because all of God's providence is for the good of his people. And when we come and we see that this covenant God, the one who has his people as the apple of his eye, who has brought them into this living relationship with himself, he can only mean it for good. We are to be submissive. Remember there in Job, somebody who had gone through terrible trials, terrible situations. And he says, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, friends, here in the wilderness of David's own life, as he was heading now towards eternity, he was saying to his soul, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, why should he say that to you and to me tonight in Knightswood Free Church? He would say that to us because it is not natural for us to do that. Even in the residue of that fallen nature that still remains within the people of God, it is our tendency to murmur. And it was David's tendency. And so he comes and he checks his soul. And he stirs up his soul. And he says to his soul, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul." See, friends, this evening you are not to let your soul forget all his benefits. You are to remind your soul. You are to say to your soul, "I am to bless the Lord for all the benefits he has given me. And though he slay me, yet will I serve him." You have been given a benefit today. You've been given a benefit today to strengthen your weakness. And I have been given a benefit today to strengthen my weakness. And the Lord is saying to us that we are to bless him for all his goodness to us. You remember there in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ had healed 10 lepers. And he said, "Now go away and show yourself to the priest." And 9 of them did. And one of them returned to show himself to the priest. You see, 9 of them had gone the way to the ceremonial law. And one returned unto Christ to thank him from the bottom of his heart. And friends, you have much to be thankful for here. People here this evening from various congregations throughout this city of Glasgow, you also have much to thank the Lord for in your congregations. You have the ministry of the Word. That's a precious thing in these days. We live in days of low spirituality and slender things, but the Lord is still raising and caring for and protecting a ministry. He's still feeding his people with that handful of corn that has been shaken upon the mountaintops. He's still adding to the church even such as would be saved. You notice this wonderful verse that we have here in verse 5. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." What is the picture here? The picture here is of an eagle. And the eagle's beak, as he grows older, the beak grows longer. And it comes to the stage that he's no longer able to feed. And so the body of that bird becomes weakened. His wings become frail, and he becomes thin. But then, after a period of time, the outward shell of the beak is cast off, and he can feed once again. You see, friends, you might be like the eagle this evening. You might be going through those slender times. Ah, but there is coming a time when the Lord will cast off those slender times. You will be able to feed again and be strong again in the things of the Lord again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. May the Lord bless his word to us.